Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are covering the Thursday edition of the legal tampering period, so day four. And I guess now it's actually full free agency. So, so that's where we're at in terms of it. And big news today was the multiple, actually, big news items, and it was it was big for the running back position with the signing of Kenyon Drake by the Las Vegas Raiders. And this is an interesting signing. It's quizzical to me because it's a lot of money to give to someone who isn't very good. So that's really the thing that jumped out at me. And I don't say that as an insult to Kenyon Drake. He hasn't been very good. And so when you look at his yards per route run, only twice has he been above one. Again, for a receiving-centric guy, that's horrible. Last year, he was totally phased out of the passing game. And it was actually not him being phased out of the passing game. See, that's the thing that I guess I didn't necessarily appreciate until I did a deep dive. It was that Chase Edmonds was significantly more effective. And it wasn't that Chase Edmonds was getting all the work. It was just that Chase Edmonds was significantly more impactful on his passing opportunities. So in terms of when you look at Edmonds, and then when you look at Kenyon Drake, and then you look at Josh Jacobs, the worst one of the three in terms of passing game effectiveness is Kenyon Drake. And so you look at that and you say, okay, I'm not sure what they're looking to get. So that's the thing that really jumps out to me. Kenyon Drake did finish his running back 15 in total points last year, but that's 70.7% of the carries. It was 90% of their rushing touchdowns. It was 30% of their targets, 31% of their receptions. And again, 43% of the routes run. So he underperformed pretty significantly. When you look at Chase Edmonds, he had accounted for 68% of their running back target share, 67% of their running back receptions, 73% of their, almost 74% of their running back yardage out of the backfield. And it was only on 53% of the routes run. So just basically Drake performed half of what he should have in terms of the yards based on his market share routes. And, Edmonds was something like 40% better. So, yeah, this is it's a quizzical one to me because it's just what I think they're signing him for is just not something that he's been that proficient at. So again, this is one of those stats tell the truth where some narratives lie. This is like the Clyde Edwards-Helaire being a really good receiving back coming out of college type narrative. This is just not that true. So we'll see. I will say in terms of Jacobs, like, I think it's important to keep in context. And I would say I'm going to sort of posit a theory that I've kicked around a little bit with the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt situation. And my theory was that I don't think it's ultimately much going to matter because the odds that both of them are healthy for an extended period of time and sort of continuously eating into each other's workload isn't all that great. And so, you sort of you sort of look at that, and then it's probably like a minority of situations where they're both healthy for 16 games. So that would sort of be the thing that I would say. That is sort of a backhanded slight at Jacobs, I guess, because, yeah, there's a chance that he gets hurt. You know, you add up, it's about 40% chance that these top 24 running backs in a given year, that they miss four more consecutive games. So when you sort of add that up, you know, that the implied number of that's about nine or so of the top 24 guys coming into a season. I don't think Kenyon Drake's going to rank in that, but it's the same similar theory holds with maybe it's a lesser rate because he's getting less touches. But that would be something that I'm not going to super worry about it right now. More worried about Jacobs, the asset. We'll see what the ultimate number is. From just using some common sense deductive reasoning, it looks like that it's probably just a guarantee of Drake this year with maybe a little bit guaranteed next year, but nothing that's not cuttable. So yeah, they have Jacobs under contract for 3 years. They have Drake basically playing a year-to-year deal. The other thing to keep in mind with this is none of these running backs are really doing like elite, superhuman level of opportunities. And so I created a little bit of a metric here that is essentially, it's the market share of plays is what I'm calling it. So it's a combination of your rushing attempts plus your routes run, and then you know what market share you are of the team. All right, so what percentage of your routes plus carries of your team's running backs, routes and carries, did you account for? So when you look at it, it's 70% is the high water mark for Derrick Henry. And then when you sort of look at the guys that are in the range of, the guys that are above 50% or so, there's some good fantasy numbers in there, no doubt. There's 15 guys that had above 50% of the touches included in that, or of the market share of plays, offensive involved plays. And so you do get your big workhorse guys, your Montgomery's, your Dalvin Cook, Zeke's up there. He's, you know, ninth in terms of just rushing and passing numbers. James Robinson, seventh. You know, he's up there at 62%. He was the fifth most, we'll call it like a workhorse matrix. Kamara's up there. Obviously, he's at 60%. But when you sort of look at these guys, you know, having 55%, 50%, that is not a death knell. That's actually top 16 in the league. So I wouldn't get super, bent around an axle worried about, oh, it's going to be a 50-50 timeshare. When you look at these numbers, you don't want it to be, you want him to be, Jacobs to be 55%, something like that. But that's pretty much in line with what he did last year. 57% of the plays. Again, and when you sort of look at it, where he took the hit was he had 69% of market share carries, 65% market share of rushes. So again, he's basically a two-thirds rushing game guy. So he had 75% of the rushing touchdowns and basically saw 45% of targets, 44% of receptions, 47% of routes run, and 47% of their yards. So, and so then when you look at, so that's just the plays, right? The basically offensive involved plays, so rushes and routes. When you look at actual opportunities, so that's rushes plus targets. The numbers probably getting a little distorted in terms of what we expect. So just keep that in mind with some of the overreaction here. So here you have a total of 21 guys that are above 50%. Okay, and in that, Jonathan Taylor at 50% was sixth in scoring. So just, you know, the other top guys, that's just how much of a freakazoid he is. The other top guys, all in the top 10. Aaron Jones, you know, was at 14. So he was the outlier of guys that aren't in the top 10 that finished in the top 10 in points scored. Maybe that is a sign of, hey, AJ Dillon has some viability. You know, basically he had 53% of market share opportunity of rushing and receiving numbers. So just, you know, there is a fair amount of workload for another guy. So just, you know, just keep that in mind. When you look at some of the other guys that we really are expecting big workloads out of, it was 40% for DeAndre Swift, 38.4% for J.K. Dobbins. Chase Edmonds was down there at 37%. Again, this is the opportunities, targets, and the market share of targets and rushes combined. So just keep that in mind. I wouldn't get super worked up about this. Yes, it's going to hurt probably his upside. Does it destroy his floor? I don't think so. And again, I could be wrong, but I'm not taking the, hey, this is a Josh Jacobs destroying thing. I don't think Kenyon Drake's as good as the Raiders think he is. So maybe it'll take some time for that to play out. But the numbers really kind of suggest that Kenyon Drake's overrated. So that's really my take on it. I've seen some polling out there. I haven't gotten any deals done. I'm going to try. A couple of seconds is what, based on some Twitter polls that I saw, is like some of the going rate. Again, is that the going rate for people that actually roster Josh Jacobs? We'll see. I haven't had success with that, but that doesn't mean I'm not trying. So again, he's a player that I might go and use potential uptick guys to try and get at, because I do think he's going to be a buy low. So looking at trying to figure that situation out is one that I'm going to pursue, because I'm not worried. The other thing that I, in the back of my mind, just keep thinking about is this is setting up including Jacobs in a deal to the Seahawks for Russell Wilson. So Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, and three firsts for Russell Wilson. That's what's in the back of my mind on this one. So I have nothing to believe that to be true, but I just think in terms of how you would put together a deal, that might be something that actually interests Seattle. And if you kind of follow along with some of the, you know, some of the stuff from Gruden, he wants a running back. And so if you're sort of looking at it, you know, that would be something that I would just like, I think it opens up the possibility, you know. So again, I don't have anything to believe that that's true, but that's just something when this happened, that was the first thing that I said, huh. So we'll see. And I, you know, there's enough rumblings there that I don't think the Russell Wilson thing has died. So just put that on the back burner. I'm going to file that away. Just on the, I don't think the Russell Wilson trade situation is done yet. So that is just something that's in the back of my mind. Other running back news of the day includes the release of Philip Lindsay by the Denver Broncos. This is actually technically a little bit different procedurally than a release. It works as a release. They had offered him an original round tender as a restricted free agent, and they rescinded that offer. So it effectively is a release. So that's the news there. Mike Boone and Royce Freeman, potential beneficiaries of that. So we'll be watching that situation. Notably, Mike Boone, their new GM, has a link to Mike Boone from Minnesota. So just file that one away in terms of you know, bringing in a guy that he knows. Mike Boone, more of a special teamer. Could he masquerade as an injury way guy? Maybe. I guess I would have to put Freeman at the front of the line, just in terms of prototypical. But we'll see on that. I'm not super convinced of what the true answer behind Melvin Gordon is. So if Mike Boone is out there available, we're going to treat him as a guy that's on the one injury away spectrum. He's on more of the uncertain situation, and I'll make sure he's, you know, I have some notes in there for the matrix there. But that is a situation I do think is going to be one that we should spend some time thinking about in the off season and training camp and reading on that one. So that'll move to the front of the line in terms of thoughts. The receiver position, Allen Robinson signs his franchise tag. So there was some concerns that he was going to raise a stink about that. So he's back under contract. Hey, maybe he likes the Andy Dalton deal. We'll see. I'm not sure what the deal is. It's interesting that he signed the franchise tag after the Bears hosted Kenny Galladay for a visit. And you just look around and maybe he's saying to himself, hey, listen, no one else is going for big money at receiver. I'm going to make $18 million. I don't want to be here, but I got 18 million reasons why I want to sign this deal. That I think makes some sense about what's going on there. So he's probably still not happy, but yeah, that is how it reads. Breshad Perriman to the Lions, a 1-year, $3 million deal. It'll be interesting. There is not much there. So him and Tyrell Williams, could he be a 100 target guy? Just by almost necessity, man, this looks really good for DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson. So that would sort of be my initial thing. Breshad Perriman has had a little bit of a tough career, kind of bounced around, had that uptake at the end of 2019. His career high in targets, 69 targets. His career high in receptions, 36 receptions, 645 receiving yards is his career high. This will be his sixth season in the NFL. So that's kind of what you're getting there. He had 645 yards in that 2019 season with Tampa, 3 100-yard games. He's had 4 in his career. He had 3 that year on 645 total yards. So if that tells you what that streak was in terms of his career high, that pretty much hits it on the number. Keelan Cole, 1 year, $5.5 million to sign with the Jets. He has been a big buzz guy for a while. A UDFA out of Kentucky Wesleyan. So 88 targets last year, 55 receptions, 642 through the air, and 5 touchdowns. That does represent basically his best season since his rookie year. He's not really a full-on big-time threat at the position. So, file it away, but there's Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, Jameson Crowder, and he kind of blends in. Will Fuller is the big one, 1-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. Haven't seen the actual number yet, so we'll be on the lookout for that. This is a good fit for Tua. I was listening to Dilfer talk, and he's basically like, hey, listen, Tua's one of the better four vert guys and that he's ever seen. In terms of the four vertical routes, throwing those and working through that. So the problem last year with Tua was there was no one that could actually execute that. And the offense wouldn't really cater to that. New coaching staff, and voila, a person who can run a vertical route. So just keep that in mind there. I do think this is a good situation for Fuller. It's a situation where he could walk in and be a 110, 120, 130 target guy just because they don't really have a ton there that scares me at the position. So again, this is no surprise what the questions about Will Fuller are. His health, his ability to stay on the field, that those are all big, you know, big things. And he just hasn't particularly done that yet. But that's not to say that he can't. And, you know, that is, that would be the thing that for me, you know, you take the shot because it's pretty valuable, the upside of it. So Will Fuller, Preston Williams, Jakeem Grant, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're dealing with. Yeah, I'm going to press the chips in there and think that he could definitely be a wide receiver one. So I'm interested to see what his trade value settles in at. We'll be watching that in the going days. Kenny Galladay, still unsigned. Juju Smith-Schuster, still unsigned. He hasn't closed the door on returning to Pittsburgh, was the note. The Kenny Galladay met with the Bears, and there is a chance he's going to go meet with the Giants. It looks like he actually met with them on Thursday. And they have, quote, a lot of questions, end quote. And there's no guarantee he's going to get an offer. So be interesting to see what his situation is, if it's injury related or what. That doesn't sound particularly good in terms of some of the headlines coming out about him. So I always think too, when you get a guy that just walks, that he just walks in free agency, that is without any sort of like competition on the depth chart, it left a gaping hole. That's kind of one of those things that's concerning. Hunter Henry is an example of that. Jonnu Smith's an example of that. Kenny Galladay is an example of that. It's just an interesting thing. And we know some of that stuff with like Will Fuller. You know, we kind of get it why, you know, what some of their thoughts are. It might be on Will Fuller's injury history. But when you just see this, this isn't a good sign for Kenny Galladay. So that would just be the cautionary thing that I would say about the Galladay situation. It gives me a lot of concern that there's some injury stuff there. I covered Rashad Higgins signing yesterday. He did sign late, but that one's it. He's back with a 1-year deal with the Browns, so he can continue to illegally park on the streets of Cleveland. Okay, Kyle Rudolph signed a 2-year deal with the Giants, 2 years, $14 million. I don't love it. I wanted him to go to like a situation where he could be, like a streamer starter. Doesn't seem like it's going to be all that great. We'll see. Maybe he plays the heavy to sort of allow Ingram to play some more of the move stuff. We'll see there. Be interested to see how much running routes he does and how much blocking he does. So just, I think he's an interesting one in terms of viability. There's been enough smoke there where I'm wondering if they might move on from Evan Ingram. So it's just an intuition I have that they're just not happy with him. So just keep that in mind as well. Jared Cook signs a 1-year deal worth up to $6 million with the Los Angeles Chargers. So one of those guys that just, keeps hanging on and just keeps, listen, you get these tight ends who are productive and they just keep getting opportunities. So the formula is very simple. Tight end, productive, in the league with a starting job, tend to remain productive. Jason Witten was productive, didn't have a starting job, and sort of fell off the face of the earth. Jared Cook, going to go to a wide open situation. So you like that opportunity. Again, he's that thrift shop tight end filler guy. You just keep those, that's the shot you kind of take, right? That's the bet you make later on in the draft in tight end. That's the type of profile that pays off. Ryan Izzo traded to the Houston Texans for a 7th-round pick. That is a reuniting with Nick Caserio there, their personnel guy. So Darren Fells released from the Texans in a corresponding move as well. So we'll see. He has the ability to like catch touchdown passes at an extremely high rate. So just be on the lookout for where he signs, because that could be an interesting one. just some notes here on the quarterback situation, just cleaning up some stuff. Mitchell Trubisky signs as a backup with the Buffalo Bills, so he will back up Josh Allen. I think that's actually a good situation for him. So that's, you know, just we'll see what happens. And, you know, if he tends to try and reclaim his career at some point as a starter down the line, but goes to Buffalo, it's a pretty stable situation, and you know, they're pretty smart offensively. So just keep that, just file that. I don't, you know, in Superflex, he's not, I wouldn't cut him probably outside of, you know, like a 20-man roster. I still think you just hoard the pedigree. You know, if it's like 28-man, something like that, I think he deserves to be on a roster. Kyle Allen re-signs 1-year deal for very little money, $850,000 with the Washington football team. Ryan Fitzpatrick said he was not promised a 2021 starting job. He says, quote, "I just want a chance to have the opportunity to compete for the starting gig. I have an ultimate belief in myself, and I feel like whatever situation I'm put in, if I have a chance to compete, that's all I want." So we'll watch for that. Andy Dalton received assurances that he would be the team's 2021 starter. Joe Flacco is visiting with the 49ers. That's pretty much the story there. Mariota is a potential cut candidate if he doesn't take a pay cut down to $3 million. I still think he might like draw interest on the open market. So I don't know what the Raiders are doing other than, you know, pretty much pissing everybody off. Mike Glennon signs with the Giants. He'll be a potential backup. Be interesting to see if that pushes Daniel Jones. I know Mike Glennon's not like a robust career arc or anything like that, but that signing is one that's you kind of do if you're like, hey, we might need a guy. And so that's just something I'd watch for there. Also want to touch on the Deshaun Watson piece. I'm going to do that in a separate podcast, so I'll release that as well. Just because if you're looking specifically for that, you can find it. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.